don't go shopping for a great big house. We already got one. We got a way to get in out of the rain whenever the rain comes. Now we ain't broke and we ain't flush, but girl, we don't really want for much. Oh, we'll never get our pictures in a magazine or ever go riding in a limousine. We're probably never gonna have a lot of stuff, but we sure got enough. Been a pretty good long while since we had a vacation, but we got a hidey hole we can get away. Now life ain't grand, but we got love. How about them apples? We gonna shine them up. Oh, you'll find us in the back rows on the aeroplane, squinting at Florida, trying to make it Spain. Shrugging when they're calling for the rough and tough. We sure got enough. Just folks, it's just us chickens, but I bet we go the distance. No, we'll never get our pictures in a magazine or ever go riding in a limousine. We're probably never gonna have a lot of stuff, but we sure got enough.
Well, hey, yeah, there you go. Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720. That's our dear friend, Paul Seabar.
Thank
as
you,
much
Dave.
As I can love a man, I love you, Paul. Thanks for
good
thanks,
evening.
Thanks for coming in. I know you were in Columbus.
Even more than Joe Brill.
I know you were in Columbus, Ohio last night.
I was.
When did you get back here?
I got back here once earlier in the evening, and then I got back here again about a half hour ago.
So, now that's a great song. I never heard that song. You wrote it with our friend Pat McLaughlin.
That's right.
Our Nashville friend.
That's right. About a year ago.
Just a great, great songwriter. He's on the road with John Prine most of the time. I don't know if all the time.
Mm-hmm.
I think John's actually got a gig tonight. But tell us about Pat and how you hooked up and how you wrote that song.
Well, we've been writing over the past 10 years or so, a number of different visits. But I first saw Pat play at South by Southwest in Austin, and he had a band with Billy Bremner in it and Ian McLaughlin, and an amazing band, Carlo Nuzio on drums.
Yeah.
It was a fantastic thing. And I became an instant fan and then went and tried to find whatever records I could find, and then saw him in New Orleans on a night where it was like a songwriter's night, and there were about Buddy Miller was there and Jesse Dayton.
Oh yeah, I remember Jesse Dayton
and Pat and me and about 13 people, and it was just fantastic. And we kind of struck up a little conversation, and then as the years have gone on, I got to know him down in Nashville and started hanging out, and we started trying a couple songs, and we got a number of them. The last record I did had four tunes that we co-wrote, and the solo record, I think we did at least one of our co-writes.
And what's that name of the one you just did?
That one's called We Sure Got Enough. That's hasn't been recorded yet.
Will it be recorded? It's a great song.
I sure hope so.
You know, Pat has such humility. I want to try to explain Pat's muse. I mean, I think that the only thing that might connect you guys is just, I know you both love soul music.
Yeah,
and you're both kind of humble guys. But what's it like to write with him? And do you draw on some of those characteristics?
Well, you know, we have a lot of similar loves. And, I mean, he's certainly been more plugged into the country end of things down there. And he's from Iowa and kind of, you know, I think vaguely urban, but he certainly had a rural, you know, more of a rural connection than I have in Milwaukee. And it's just been a good mix for us. We've had a you know, it's also, he's a very, very humorous fellow.
Yeah, he is.
And our humor kind of interacts well.
Yeah, yeah. He hasn't been up here in a while, has he?
No, you know, he's with the world famous headliners with Big Al Anderson and Sean Camp, and I think they just did another cruise kind of thing. Delbert McClinton's cruise. Mm-hmm. So I think he did that. Although he might be just with John right now.
Now, do you know you've got? I just learned this yesterday. You'll be at Fitzgerald's on February 11th.
Yeah, how about that?
Okay, and what's the setup? It'll be a full band, and
it's the pre Valentine's Day show.
Uh huh.
It'll be my band.
Okay.
Tomorrow Sound. We'll be there in full mufti, pre Valentine mufti.
Mm-hmm. And how many pieces in the band now?
There are the four of us.
Okay.
It's a lean and mean version of whatever I've been up to for the last 35 years. And Reggie Bordeaux on the drums has been with me 21 years. Bob Jennings, the same length. And then I was with Bob in the previous band years ago. So he's actually the human that stood next to me longest. And then great Mike Fredrickson, long-term veteran with Robbie Folk's band, but great band leader himself. The Mosleys is this kind of undersung band in Milwaukee that just Mike's written an endless number of wonderful songs, and he's a great singer and player.
I've known you almost that whole run, right? I started writing about you in 85, 86, something like that. 80.
Could be.
A long time.
Could be,
but
David.
I pulled something. I mean, this is interesting. It kind of in the times we're in right now, and maybe I don't know what the gig was like last night in Columbus, but you told me you were interested in the ritual, the whole notion of people dancing and sharing music, and through that act, to paraphrase what you said, you suspend regular judgments and feelings, and something happens to you. That's pretty good stuff.
Hey, man, you got to be idealistic when you're whatever I was at the time. I'm all for the ritual idea.
Yeah, yeah.
I have to say that as my group ages, there's not as many getting up and getting into the Dionysian revelry, but things get a little Apollonian as you grow older. But I do really believe in the dance hall and what that music can do in terms of for the audience, but also for the band. I think the band draws a lot of juice from people that are up and moving.
And
it's one of the reasons why when I started out, I mean, I was coming and playing open mics at No Exit and all these places here in town, the Earl of Old Town. And, you know, my initial contact with music was kind of folk music. But I kind of thought way back then, I kind of realized when I went away to college, I learned to dance. And I realized that there was something that helped me rearrange my little troubled little brain if I danced. And if I didn't and sat around and, you know, nodded to things that I could assent to in a folk club, it was a little different situation. It didn't have that kind of galvanizing force. And so I wanted to be part of that dance hall.
You and I have gone to record stores, not recently, but and we talked about our shared love of calypso music. Can you talk a little bit about... And you just touched on folk music, but your love of calypso, and also, again, in the times we live in, is calypso being a vocal newspaper, being a political tool, and being told through the calypso ways. That's some of the roots of calypso. And even, I mean, like, I've got it at home, The Charmer by Louis Farrakhan. You know?
Sure, sure. Is she is or is she ain't?
Yeah, calypso artist. So can we talk about that a little bit?
Well, yeah. When I was – I did go to Carnival finally in 2001.
Trinidad. The one in Trinidad?
Yes.
I've been to that one, yeah.
And this was prior to the New York festivities in September of that year, but this was after the Supreme Court decided they should appoint somebody and decided to tell grown-ups in Florida that they didn't know how to count and that they wouldn't be allowed to count. And so I was quite incensed and was happily down in Trinidad kind of watching to see whether people were going to be dealing with that. And there were people that were dressed as U.S. Supreme Court justices with all kinds of commentary involved. There are all these beautiful characters in the Trinidad Carnival. I mean, it really makes New Orleans Mardi Gras, you know, you have your Mardi Gras Indians, you have your maybe your baby dolls or something, and you sometimes have the Skull and Bones gang. But in Trinidad, there are 30 or 40 different characters that people play and dress up to play. It's really mind-boggling how elaborate the situation is, and it's not elaborate like money elaborate. Yeah. It's like really people like making stuff out of nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they have non-mechanized floats. You have to be able to carry the float through the streets. But, you know, at that year, you know, the road march was this thing called Stranger by Shadow. And it was kind of another one in the long line of Miss Tourist kind of songs. And, you know, Lord Kitchener had Miss Tourist. And there are all these songs about teaching somebody from off the island what you do. So he's like, get your flag and wave it. So it wasn't very overtly political that year. But we'll have to see. Oh, my God.
I want to tell... before we take the break, Dan Long, just this morning, I ordered three more Donald Trump pinatas. They've been on our guest. They say business is booming. So he said he might come back in the spring. But you think there could be some Donald Trump imagery down in Trinidad this
year? Well, I mean, they're very, very aware. I mean, the one thing about Calypso is that it's a worldwide awareness. At least, you know, I mean, part of it, you could say, you don't know how much of that kind of acerbic commentary that people like Sparrow and Kitchener were all about. But like Calypso Rose just made a brand new record, and there's a couple of beautiful things about that are politically oriented. And she made it with Drew Gonsalves, who leads that wonderful band Cobotown out of Toronto. And he's very, very good at looking at immigrant issues and the issues of Trinidad itself and of the history of the place.
All right, I have to check that out. Don't go away. We'll come back with another quick little song after the break.
Sure.
All right, we'll be back with Paul Seabar after this on WGN.
What's keeping Erica aloft and enlivening our little lives? What's keeping Erica far from the to and the fro? When even the rivers are riled up and tough guys will quail like a poor orphaned waif. Tell me what's keeping Erica, what's keeping Erica safe? What's keeping Erica serene as a ship in the harbor? What's keeping Erica far from the fray and the row? Here in this cold shoulder town, we're all down and tense in the teeth of the storm. Tell me what's keeping Erica, what's keeping Erica warm? That's why I stand close as I can with my hands out. Maybe by seeing how she's being, I'll find out what's keeping Erica out of the raging floodwaters. What's keeping Erica above all the gutter snipe swill? While opprobrium sinks one and all to a royal, jackals left mine in the store. What's keeping Erica? It boggles the mind all the more. My fourth cup of coffee. What's keeping Erica? Nerves can get jangled round here. I count packets of sugar, rain rattles the windows, and in here I'm starting to see. Oh, what's keeping Erica? Keeping a fella like me.
Paul Seabar on WGN's Nocturnal Journal with What's Keeping Erica. Paul, you're cultivating some new fans out there at the Allstate Showcase
Studio.
Now, that's on your last record?
That is on my record called One Little Light On, which is an instrumental, or it's a solo acoustic record, Dave.
So, yeah, now, will you be playing that at Fitzgerald's on February 11th, or is that a different
I may
type
play
of show?
That song. That's about as close to, I mean, what happens with me is it takes me years to get something out. So that was there's one little protest verse there that comes from somewhere in the middle of the early aughts that, finally made its way to that record at a time when there were no longer jackals mining the store. But now we have a new crop of jackals shutting the store down and opening their own. Excuse me.
And so that's – I want to go back to what we were talking about dancing. I mean, I guess there's a time to dance and a time to listen, but listening to that song you just did requires a lot of attention.
I guess maybe. I wrote it with Peter Mulvey, my good friend from back in Milwaukee. And
and when did you write it?
I don't know, six or seven years ago.
Yeah.
And we've been writing a few other ones that sort of – Studs Terkel-inspired material.
Good for you. you were in Columbus last night.
What was the venue
you played there?
It's called Natalie's. It's a great place.
And I know Columbus. What part of town was that in?
It's in Worthington. North end of town.
Yeah, I know where Worthington is.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the mood like now when you go out and play these places? What do you see in your audience? What do you hear?
There were a number of people that were thanking me for actually allowing them to smile briefly, albeit briefly. I myself felt good to be able to sing. My band and I spent a pretty glum day driving across the country looking at very unseasonably warm Ohio fields in Indiana, where their whole road that they've so lovelily privatized under Mr. Pence. They now have, you know, potholes all along the whole route. They've got half of their oases are closed. They've got, you know, people apparently the concessions are owned by, like, Indiana folks, and they're they're $6 for potato chips.
Yeah, I've been in those, yeah.
And if you go out to the gas station that's owned by somebody from Pennsylvania, and potato chips are only $3 there.
Yeah.
So you can bargain hunt in Indiana, ladies and gentlemen. Coming soon to your beautiful town.
So the mood is I don't want to go as far as bleak, but people were glad to hear you and people were glad to see you.
They were.
And yes. I mean, there's stuff,
and they sensed that there was perhaps some simpatico sentiments. I wasn't sure. I mean, it's a very awkward time. It's back to Paranoia Strikes Deep days.
Yeah,
I would say. I mean, I spent an all too tense 2000 to 2008 in my life, and never thought I would spend that kind of stupid time again, like eyeing up people as they walk by and ask, "Are you one? Are you one? Are you one?"
Yeah.
I mean, it's interesting.
And there's debate.
Interesting.
We've got to break
you
for the news in a minute, but I mean, I do think in many levels, musicians do have responsibilities, whether it's taking political stance through lyrics or whether it's healing. I think a lot falls on your guys' shoulders to keep things level.
Well, you can drive all day to go play in a little place in some town, and I mean, they know they got us. I mean, I live to do this.
And it's important. Yeah, yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break for the news, and we're going to come back with more Paul Cibar and more music on WGN's Nocturnal Journal.
Oh, beautiful. For spacious skies. For amber waves of green. For purple mountains. Majesties above the fruited plain. Listen, listen, listen. America.
Welcome back to America. Nocturnal Journal. We've got Paul Cibar in the studio and calling in. I don't know, from Miami is our special Washington correspondent, Sam Moore of Sam and Dave. Are you there, Sam?
Hold on, he's coming.
Oh, there's Joyce. How are you, Joyce?
Hello.
Sam, how are you? It's Dave from Nocturnal Journal in Chicago.
Dave, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm the other Dave. How are you?
How are you the other Dave?
So what's new? What's new, Sam? I mean, you that was the version of America the Beautiful you sang Thursday night at the was it the Lincoln Memorial? I mean, it was the Make America Great Again concert there in Washington.
Oh, you're talking about the one that's in front of the Lincoln statue.
Yeah, right. And you were there Thursday.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
In some corners, it was controversial for you to play that. What was that like? What was it like to show up, and why did you do that?
Well, I was there. Actually, that was not a given. What it was, I went in there to sing for the sing a song for the soldiers. And before I left, I heard that Jennifer Holliday was going to be there doing that time. So I said, "Well, if I can get a flight early enough, I'll go and I want to hear, because I do like the way this girl pipe sounds." So before I got to this and everything, Joyce came and told me. She said, "I don't think you, Sam. Would you like to go and do the show with Jennifer?" And I said, "No. Why would I don't want to do a show with her?" So she said, "No." She just dropped out, and I said, "Oh, okay." So that's how that came about. She dropped out, and I said, "I'll do it." I didn't know it was going to be that controversial, because I was just going there to take her away. She didn't do it. That's all, Dave.
Did you ever talk to Donald Trump? Did he talk to you after your performance?
No. He was there, I'm pretty sure, but I didn't see him at all. I had no conversation.
Are you surprised at the pushback you got for doing this?
Yeah, because I it was not like I was invited, Dave. You know, I was there for the soldiers and whatnot, and as soon as after I did it, I came down, and John Boyd and Mark Burnett, and we were all talking. And the next thing I know, I'm getting all this hate mail, and I shouldn't do this, I should do that. And I'm going, wait, what the hell is going on here? It's not like they said for me, and I was there to sing for this. I was just a stand-in, that's all.
Well, listeners should know, I mean, your version of America the Beautiful, it's very reminiscent. It was a nice version. It was very reminiscent to me of Ray Charles' version, which actually was one of President Obama's favorite songs. It was, so.
Right. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know anything about that. The only thing I know, I had to rush. Joyce had to rush to get some shots made. And so she sent a tape, and she said, it's Ray's version of it, but you're going to have to do some, you know, you're going to have to arrange it again. So they did it. They sent a tape, and they rearranged it. And she said, Sam said he wants it in a, going to do it. He's going to do it in a half step higher. So that's what I did. And to tell you the truth, Dave, listen, it was so crazy. I did all of that, and I'm standing up there. And a lot of people don't understand that I'm standing up there in that cold. And there it is, and my lungs were killing me. It was so cold up there, man. You would be surprised. And you're gonna come down on me. And I just stood up all this time, and I'm standing where Martin stood, and you know Marian Anderson and Kate Smith and all these people. And you're gonna come down behind some stuff like that. And wherein I wasn't even invited. I was standing, man, you understand that. So I didn't understand it.
Two more things, and I'll let you run it. Are you at the airport? Are you at the Miami airport right now? Well, I appreciate you.
I just got in.
I really appreciate you finding time to call us. But I got to tell you, we were talking with Paul here in the studio, and I've known you forever, Sam. Forever. And you actually gave me some stuff in that book I did on soul food and the civil rights movement. And I was at the first inauguration for President Obama. And there's a scene I'll always remember. We were at Marvin, a soul food restaurant in D.C. named after Marvin Gaye. And it was before the inauguration, and we were having dinner there. And they loud and clear over the sound system there came Curtis Mayfield's "This Is My Country," and I'll just never I'll never forget that moment. And that was 2009. And Sam, that just seems like that just seems such a long, long time ago right now in my mind. How do you feel about where this is going?
You know, the man is in now, and they go through all these changes. You know, I never thought that I would be the one to ever stand in the place of Kate Smith and where they stood, and you know, Marian Anderson. I never thought I would do that. You know, I had no idea. I'm telling you, Joyce had booked me to do for the soldiers, and that's what I was interested in doing, and doing the thing for the, you know, for the Army guys and everything, and come on back home and finish doing what I have to do. I didn't know nothing about it. They didn't invite me. No, the church didn't invite me and all that stuff. Personally, like, they didn't do that. I didn't know nothing about it. And then you're going to, I sat up there all day, 6 or 7 hours sitting. Then they're doing TV, and I'm standing there in the cold, and my lungs are burning. And then when I come out, I see this look on Joyce's face, and she's seething. How dare? What is going on? And I'm like, what the hell is going on? And then she started reading some of the hate mail and the tweets and this and that and this and other.
At the end of the day, you did. It was a very, very beautiful version of America the Beautiful.
Well, thank you, my friend. Thank you. I appreciate that.
I'm going to let you go. Do you have anything coming up now? Sam, don't you go telling me you're cutting the album with Toby Keith. I know you did a country record before, but
I'm not cutting.
Right.
No, I'm not cutting a regular Toby Keith.
Okay.
So I know I've done a country, but no, I'm not doing that. I'm going back, and Joyce has got to go to the doctor, and I'm going to be home, and then I got to go in the studio with, and I'm pretty sure you know this man, Rudy Perez, and we're trying to do a finished album for a gospel album in a gospel concert in here. So that's what I'm going to do, and Joyce is going to do what she has to do. So that's it.
Okay, well, thank you, Sam Moore, our Washington correspondent, for calling in from Miami, Florida. And let's stay in touch. Let's talk again later this year.
Well, you know I'm going to New York.
Okay. Oh, is that where you're going?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm playing Carnegie Hall. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thanks, Sam.
You get better, baby.
Okay. Take care.
Okay.
Okay. Bye bye.
I'm fine. Here's a lyric that I've been working on. There's an inkling of festivity in this deathly gray. There's a hint of greenery about to have its way. There's an army of idiots worried about your walk, troubled about that steady tingle, tortured by your talk. Tell me, tell me, tell me, let me lay it out there sly. When I kick, I kick. I kick, 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 kick. Bring that blush to bloomin' on every passerby. I kick, I kick, I kick, 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 kick. I get to fretting weakly, get to trembling too, get to get all riled up, wondering what to do. They're busy heaping laurels on some dimmed-down, pent-up man. What part of boundless disgust don't you understand? When they put the heat on, I simmer down quick. They'll hound you into cowing and try to make it stick. When I kick, I kick. I kick, 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 kick. I kick, kick, kick. I don't know. I'm just working on that.
You wrote that yourself.
Yes, yeah. I wrote that myself.
We were talking about speeches and stuff.
In solidarity with 250,000 people that were in the park today here in your town.
Yeah. Wow. I've never seen you. Well, I with Sam, I tried to talk about, and this is all, I mean.
He could stand in the Bundestag if he'd like to, the Reichstag. They might have a nice spot there.
But you know
what? Albert Speer stood.
I mean, what you got to do is, I mean, I marched last night, okay? I marched right in front of here, and today was awesome, and today was great. But, and you know this, Paul, I mean, people, it just can't stop. You just got to continue to push, 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 and kick, kick, kick. I mean, you got to get involved. You got to get involved with the midterms, and it's a long process. And people.
Here's what Ry Cooter said about my state, Wisconsin. In the dark of night, the secret vote was cast. We drove the Union down at last. My evil deeds have ruined the land. A house divided cannot stand. I want my crown. I want my crown. The working man has been cast down. I want my crown. Then the day dawned bright and hard when I stole away the cord of nine. The Judas men served the cause, and the sacred church of law is mine. I want my crown. I want my crown. Justice has been cast down. I want my crown. You love the gleaming war machine. Your hearts beat fast, your eyes on the prize. War without end, riches untold, oil and God and your righteous pride. I want my crown. I want my crown. I'm going to sit here and watch your little world come tumbling down. I want my crown.
Where's that from?
That's from I Want My Crown, from Pull Up Some Dust and Sit Down, Ry Cooter's great record.
Right, okay.
It's a way, and you try to do any kind of political music in this world, it takes you forever to get it out, and it happily, it actually applies at the very moment. Well, watch what they do. I'm from Wisconsin. It used to be a progressive state.
Yeah, you're right.
And first they bought the media. Then they told every grandma and grandpa that the world was falling down and people were at their door. And first they do that, then they do many other things. And next thing you know, when you have 80,000 people in the square and it's snowing, they say hundreds of people gathered in Capitol Square.
Yeah, yeah. We got to take a break for some spots. That was an interesting segment with Sam Moore and Paul Seabar, and we'll be back after this on WGN.
She lives close to the tracks, though she never sleeps a wink. The train run all night, give her plenty time to think. For the love that she had to a man brave and true, and how that love went bad. way that love is bound to do. They'd have candlelight meals. They drink wine from Bordeaux. Make love every night. Oh, while the moon hung low. He stopped coming home. He stopped paying the bills. She had to move to this house. Oh, by the tracks down the hill. She called her mom and her dad. They wouldn't understand. They'd say, what did you do to that hard-working man? She called her brother down south, but he never called her back. He's got a house down the hill next to his own railroad tracks. What happens now? Tell me, what should she do? Oh, she can't fall asleep and dream of love brand new. Oh, up in the air, she sees birds and planes. Oh, you know she'd go anywhere. Get away from these dreams. She lived close to the tracks.
Welcome back to Nocturnal Journal on WGN 720 with our guest and friend, Paul Seabar. Paul, tell us about that song.
That's a song by the great and, unfortunately, as of about a week ago, late Greg Trooper. I met Greg through my dear friend John Seeger and his wife Lindsay, who, when they were living in Nashville, lived right down the block from Greg and his wife, and was able to see him play live a few times and just have heard of all the beautiful things. I mean, he would babysit. Their sons grew up together, and just a lovely fellow, and is unaccountably gone.
Diagnosed with pancreatic cancer 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's what, 61 years old. You know, my brother lives in Nashville, as you know.
Right. And
Doug knew Greg. Did you ever go to Bobby's, that little ice cream shop? But I think his wife ran that for a while.
I never did.
Yeah. But you and I, when I asked you to come on the show, we talked about Greg, and you touched on this earlier. I mean, there's so many of you people that are just doing this and doing this.
I mean, today we lost Maggie Roche.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, this morning her sister Suzy put it up on Facebook, saying that she'd apparently quietly been suffering with cancer, and she lost her battle today.
I mean, but it's just, and we touch on this, but what you bring, the gifts and the spirit you bring to people in the trenches, just week in and week out, month in and month out, it's tremendous. What keeps you going in this?
I don't know. I mean, I love music, and I love the people that made music that I admire. I mean, I love Sam Moore, even though I can't. It's unconscionable for me to. I don't care how much money was offered. I don't care if you happened to be there. Marian Anderson would never have sung for somebody like this.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so, in my book, I mean, I dearly love. I mean, I could sing you about 40 of his tunes, and I think the world of his music. But I think, I don't know, man. Very slippery slope.
It is. It is. You touched on something. I think we're going to try to do a Chicago Voices is having a panel on protest music on February 4th. I'm going to try to do something next week on this. And we were talking about this walk around last night too. Is it getting hard? I mean, is it hard to record protest music now? And well, I mean, we were thinking.
If you have a forum, Rye Cooter was able to release three or four wonderful protest records that fell on pretty well deaf ears. But I mean, I think they're magnificent. But he had, you know, he's got a conduit. They're ready at Nonesuch to put every word out. Neil Young, in the middle of the aughts, put out Living with War and Let's Impeach the President, which I thought was enormously courageous, but it was just way on time, right on time. Somebody like me could be cooking it up in my basement, and I could put it out on Bandcamp, but there's not that kind of topical timing that can
but
make
I mean
it work.
I thought we were talking last night. I thought during the RNC, I mean, I wasn't in Cleveland, but I mean, the only from what I read in the real news was the only person really on the front line there that I knew musically was Tom Morello. He was doing a lot of shows over there, but I think people really need to step up. I mean, would you do that? I mean, what even based on what you read tonight, and I mean, would you move more in that direction if things don't even out?
I mean, I want to keep writing whatever I can write. I mean, Peter and I wrote that song based on somebody that he overheard in a coffee shop, What's Keeping Erica? And I managed to get one verse in that referenced the kind of disgust I was registering for about 8 years there, way back when. I mean, I'm going to speak my mind as best I can. It's just that my mind gets spoken and 16 years later it shows up on a record somewhere you know, so I'm not exactly the guy to look for the newspaper, you know, the Trinidadian newspaper.
Well, I think after tonight's show you will be, so it's like, so thank you. Thanks, Paul Seabar, for coming in.
Thank you, Dave, for having me, always.
Let's plug some stuff before we go. February 11th at Fitzgerald's with your band.
That's right.
What's your website?
February 10th, how can people up in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
We have listeners up in Minneapolis, St. Paul.
We're going to be playing at the Blue Saloon. It's an early gig, so it's like after work. Come and dance like crazy over there. And then we'll be driving here to lovely Berwyn. We're our home away from home, where I think I've probably played the longest of any place except for, I don't know, that's what I think the longest around here.